Episode number 3, Down in the Dumps.
Mark had tried to clean up the inside of Motherlode after it had been stolen and recovered, but it was one of those jobs that required the services of a professional. The candy wrappers laying around the cab were easy enough to pick up, but the chocolate that was ground into the carpet was going to need some heavy-duty shampooing to come clean. And then there was the ever-present smell of urine. He still couldn't believe it. How could a driver take a leak inside the cab? Even damned cats knew not to shit and eat in the same place. But grumbling over the state of his truck wasn't going to get it any cleaner. He needed someone with the proper tools and equipment to give his truck a good scrub, inside and out. A quick check of his insurance policy informed Mark that he was allowed to claim an amount in restorative costs following any theft or vandalism. Of course, just because his insurance company said it would cover the cost of cleanup, that didn't necessarily mean Mark would want to put it in a claim. He'd heard insurance companies described in plenty of ways, but the description he liked best was that insurance companies would loan you an umbrella on a sunny day, but would ask for it back the moment it started raining. He needed to have his truck clean, no doubt about that, but he'd decide what to do about the claim after the work was done, depending on the total charge. After sitting down to a hot cup of coffee and a Boston cream donut, Mark picked up a copy of the Toronto phone book and looked under auto detailing for a nearby shop. There was nothing in the phone book that set one place apart from another, so he picked one with a catchy name that wasn't too far from his present location. Sweet and Cherry. Probably two hard-working young guys who took real pride in their work. That was the place for him. Mark finished his donut, gulped down the last of his coffee, and grabbed a newspaper from one of the tables on his way out of the shop. Mark got into his truck and laid the newspaper down on the seat. It stunk like piss, and his hands stuck to everything he touched. After rolling the window down for some fresh air, he started up the truck and hurried out of the lot headed for Sweet and Cherry. Just thinking about the place made his truck smell better. Sweet and Cherry was located on Dufferin Avenue, just north of Wilson, in behind a gas station on the northeast corner of the intersection. There were more than a dozen cars parked in the lot in front of the shop. SUVs mostly, but also a healthy assortment of other makes like Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Hummer, Lexus, and Jaguar. There were even a few big old Cadillacs thrown in for good measure. All of them were immaculately clean.
Oh yeah, these guys are good.
Mark pulled into the lot, slowing the truck down to a crawl in order not to hit any of the other cars on the side of him. Mark turned and started walking toward the shop, only to find four people standing outside the front door of the place, staring at him.
What's their problem?
Mark turned around to see if there was some sight to behold directly behind him, but there was only Motherlode.
Whoa, it's a truck.
No, it's not just a truck, it's a Peterbilt. Best of all, it's bought and paid for.
It's a big truck.
Oh yeah, it's a big truck all right. It's dirty too, inside and out, and that's why I'm here.
A young blonde-haired man stepped forward. His hair was pulled back in a ponytail, giving Mark an unobstructed view of the four earrings in his left ear. Two on the bottom, two on the top. There were Doc Martens on his feet, and the cuffs at the bottom of his chinos were pressed to a knife's edge. He had a sweater on that sported the words, "The Nylons," over his heart, and since there were four microphones under the words, Mark assumed it had something to do with the singing group. The man looked over at Motherlode, and then back at Mark, lowering his head so he was looking at Mark over the top of his thick-rimmed granny glasses.
You want us to clean your truck?
It is what you do here, isn't it?
We clean cars here. Expensive cars. We don't do trucks.
Why not?
Because they're dirty.
Cars get dirty too, don't they?
Not these cars.
Why not?
Their owners usually wash them before they bring them to us. After that, we make them shine.
Mark thought about taking Motherlode elsewhere, but there was just something about this guy's attitude that convinced Mark he was going to get his truck cleaned by Sweet and Cherry, no matter what. He looked over his shoulder at Motherlode.
So give it a wash before you make it shine.
We're pretty expensive.
You think I don't have money, you little prick? Just because I drive a truck for a living?
Oh man, hey. I was just trying to warn you.
You clean my goddamn truck and make it shine like a brand new penny, and I'm not gonna take any more shit. I want the best you've got, and I don't care how much it costs. She deserves the best. And if she doesn't get it, I'm gonna take it out on your ass.
Sure, man. Whatever you want.
Well, all right then.
Mark still wanted to be angry, but the guy's compliance had stolen all of his thunder.
Come with me and we'll make up a work order.
Mark nodded, then followed the guy to the office.
What's your name, by the way?
Thatch. Thatch Waverly.
Nice name.
It took Thatch Waverly about 20 minutes to go down the list of options available, which ranged from the brand of chrome polish Mark preferred to the scent he would like for the interior of the vehicle. Mark wanted to ask what all this was going to cost him, but he'd already put his foot in his mouth by saying he didn't care how much it cost. So instead, he explained about Motherlode being stolen.
Do you guys bill insurance companies?
Nah, too much hassle. We bill you and you figure it out with your insurer.
Oh, okay.
Mark was starting to get a bad feeling in the pit of his stomach.
Now, we won't be able to finish the job today, so there'll be no charge for leaving your truck with us tonight. But if you can't pick it up by the end of business tomorrow, we'll charge you for the second night stay. Is that all right?
Mark smiled, wondering if he were leaving Motherlode in a detailing shop or a five-star hotel. Charging him to keep his truck parked in their lot seemed strange, but Mark figured there wouldn't be any reason why he couldn't pick up the truck tomorrow afternoon. Besides, this place was basically just a glorified car wash. How much could go wrong in a day? After dropping off Motherlode at Sweet and Cherry, Mark decided to call his dispatcher, Bud, and let him know he'd be out of action for the next 2 days. Hopefully, Bud would have a load for him by the end of the week, and Mark would be able to get a clean start with a fresh new Motherlode.
Yellow.
Hi, Bud, this is Mark.
Mark who?
Marco Polo, you damn Muppet. I'm the new Irish driver you hired on last week.
Dalton?
Yeah. My rig's getting cleaned and detailed today and tomorrow, so I'm looking for a load toward the end of the week.
Detail? What do you mean, clean with little brushes?
I guess so.
Those places charge a fortune.
Mark knew the services at Sweet and Cherry would be expensive, but as long as his insurance company would be taking care of it, Mark hadn't been all that worried.
Insurance should cover it.
Yeah, but there's usually a limit to the amount you can claim for something like that. It'll probably be a pretty stiff deductible amount, too.
Suddenly, Mark could see this little episode costing him dearly, but he wasn't about to admit as much to Bud.
Whatever it costs, it'll be worth it to have her back shiny clean and good as new.
Yeah, right. If you think so.
So, will you have something for me the day after tomorrow?
Nothing right now, but I'll see what I can do. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. What are you doing the rest of today and tomorrow?
Reading books and watching TV, I guess. Why?
I know a guy in town who owns a few dump trucks. He's always looking for short-term drivers.
I don't know anything about dump trucks.
Oh, what's there to know? Box goes up, box goes down. Besides, this guy usually pays in cash at the end of the day, which might come in handy when you go to get your truck back.
Mark figured Bud was right. Cash was always a good thing, and it would be smart to be ready for the bill when it came.
Okay, sure. I'll give it a try.
The guy's name was Boris Bordensky, and he seemed happy to hear from Mark.
When can you start work?
When Mark said he could start work right away, Boris gave him the address of his yard and told Mark to hop in a cab.
I even pay, okay?
And so Mark called a cab and went to the B.B. Haulage yard in the Albion Road and Highway 50 in northeast Toronto.
You drive truck long time?
Boris and Mark headed out into the yard, toward a line of trucks that had long since seen their prime.
I've been driving for years, but never dump trucks.
That's okay. You have license, right?
Yeah.
That is okay. This truck for you.
It was a Mack dumper, that was obvious. But since their distinctive cab style had changed so little over the years, Mark couldn't be sure how old the truck was. It could be 5 years old, it could be 10. After he started up the truck, which Mark was happy to hear ran like a charm, Boris gave Mark a crash course on dump truck operation.
Here's controls.
Boris pointed to a big red lever.
This make box go up. This make box go down.
In a quick 20-minute talk, Boris told Mark everything he'd need to know about driving a dump truck.
And very important to clean box after every time you dump because you don't always know what load coming next.
Right.
And don't waste time between picking up and dumping because it's very cold now and material in box can freeze.
Right.
Any questions?
What about...
Okay then, here's first pickup. Go here and pick up. Then go here and dump, okay?
Yeah, okay, I guess.
Good, see you tonight. I pay you then, okay?
Right, okay.
Okay, bye.
What the hell have I gotten myself into?
Mark's first load was demolition debris from an apartment renovation in downtown Toronto. When he arrived at the site, he was second in line behind another BB dump truck, this one looking even more run down than Mark's. It took about 15 minutes for Mark's turn to come. From the looks of the stuff they were loading into the trucks, someone had done a to-the-girders gutting of the apartment building. There was all sorts of drywall, broken wood, flooring, windows, and carpeting strewn about the parking lot. A heavy-duty front-end loader was scooping up the debris and dumping it into the trucks. When the first load fell into the box, Mark nearly went deaf from the sound of the wood and stone falling on steel. He was also amazed by how much the truck bounced around while it was being loaded.
No wonder these damn trucks look like they've been through the ringer. They have.
Out on the street, Mark checked his map and saw that Boris wanted the load dumped on some rural property south of Newmarket, just off Highway 404. Mark wasn't aware of any dumps in the area, but he suspected Boris had found a few landowners looking for clean fill. Mark reached the site a couple of hours later and was happy to see that the dump site was clearly marked and had obviously been in use for some months by several different companies.
There's an orange flag at the end of this road. Back your truck up to the flag and dump your load over the side.
Seems easy enough.
But when Mark got to the end of the road, he discovered that he'd passed the orange flag. Not wanting to go all the way around again, he decided to reverse the truck back to the flag. When the orange flag showed up in his mirrors, he swung the rear of the truck around to the right and backed the truck up to the line marked by the flag. Then, when he was in place, he took a look overhead for any wires. There were none, and started raising the box. As the box began to rise, Mark noted that one side of the truck seemed lower than the other.
What the hell? A flat?
The material in the box began to slide out the back gate. A little at first, but then more and more. Then nothing.
What's going on?
And then the truck began to move, not forward or backward, but sideways.
Get out of there! Get out of there!
Mark looked to his left and saw the site manager running toward him. Mark put the truck in gear and started forward, the box finally coming to rest on the truck's chassis. The site manager climbed up on the side of Mark's truck.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Dumping my load?
You're on the wrong side of the flag. This side's uneven and unstable. You're lucky you didn't roll your truck, especially with half your load frozen inside the box.
Oh, is that what happened?
Jesus Christ! Break up the load and try it again. On this side of the flag this time.
Right.
After getting in line behind a Western Star trailing a pup, Mark read a copy of the truck news while he inched his way forward into the loading area. When his turn came, he gave the loader the order form Boris had given him that morning and parked his truck in position to receive the load. Moments later, the gravel was dumped into the back of the truck. The loader said something to Mark and then gave him a wave, but Mark hadn't heard a word the man said. The dump truck was hard to maneuver, but as long as he took his time, gave himself plenty of room to brake, and didn't try any quick or sharp turns, he'd be fine. When he reached the building site in Richmond Hill, Mark learned that the gravel was for the floor in a large new industrial complex just off Yonge Street, north of Major Mackenzie Drive. The construction foreman stopped him as he entered the site.
Who are you working for?
Boris, BB.
Jesus, it's like he's got a new driver every day.
This is my second day.
Yeah, whatever. Find unit 26. There's a dump man there who'll guide you in.
Mark circled around the building, having a hell of a time finding his way through the stacks of bricks and 2x4s laying all over the site place. Not to mention cars and trucks parked anywhere there was an empty spot. Finally, he reached unit 26. The dump man signaled for Mark to start backing in, and Mark shifted into reverse. He followed the dump man's signal and backed into the unit, moving toward a large bare spot on the floor.
Hey! Whoa!
Mark took a look in his mirror. The dump man had his hands out, pushing them in the air in Mark's direction, as if he might be able to slow down the truck with just a gesture. Mark slammed on the brakes.
What the hell do you think you're doing, hoser?
Sorry!
Mark got rid of his load and got off site as quickly and as carefully as he could. Mark's second load of gravel was destined for a new home being built in an old established neighborhood in Oakville. Finding the house was tricky, especially since many of the suburban streets had signs prohibiting heavy trucks, but he eventually found it. The foreman instructed Mark to back the truck up into the driveway and to follow his signal to know where to dump the load. After the miscue in the morning, Mark wasn't about to take his eye off the foreman.
Okay, that's far enough. Let her go.
Mark raised the box, proud of himself for following the foreman's instructions and putting the load in precisely the right place.
Stop! Shut it off! Don't move!
What now?
Shut it off and don't move!
The foreman was walking oddly up the side of the truck.
What?
The man pointed skyward. When Mark stuck his head out the window for a look, the first thing he noticed were the sparks. White and blue flashes of light jumped and danced from the tip of the box to the overhead wires it had come in contact with.
Oh, shit!
Mark quickly grabbed the lever to try and lower the box. But instead of coming down on its own, the box caught on one of the wires and snapped it, so that the broken and exposed end of the wire was now laying across the big steel box. The Big Mac shuddered and stalled. Mark wanted to try and restart it, but he knew he'd be lucky if it even turned over.
Don't get out of the truck if you want to live.
Damn.
Mark rested his head against the steering wheel. He'd never felt more foolish and embarrassed sitting behind the wheel of a truck before in his life. Hopefully, he wouldn't be here too long. 4 hours later, Mark was still sitting in the truck. The trouble was that the power grid that Mark had tapped into also fed into the local hospital. In order to free Mark, emergency workers needed to shut down the power, and a power shutdown near a hospital was something that was to be avoided at all costs. And so, Mark sat. He'd used his cell phone to call Bud and make him promise never to let him drive a dump truck again. Bud laughed and promised, then gave Mark his next load, if he got out of this present predicament before tomorrow. Next, Mark called Sweet and Cherry to explain to Thatch Waverly that he might not be able to pick up his truck before closing today.
No problem, dude. We'll keep it in the lot overnight.
Isn't there a charge for that?
Sure, but it's just $150 a night, man.
What?
That's their usual charge.
Does that include room service?
Relax, man. It's like 1% of your total bill.
That's $1,500.
About that, plus tax. A drop in the bucket for a regular customer.
Just for washing my truck?
We did more than just wash it, dude. The rig is ready for a Saturday night. Ow!
Yeah, I won't pay that much.
You signed the work order, man, so no buck, no truck.
Mark had a few other words in mind that ended in uck, but held his tongue. He'd never felt so helpless or ucked over in his life.
See you in the morning, dude.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Mark wasn't freed from the fallen wires until after 6 that evening. Sweet and Cherry might have still been open, but even if he went straight there, it would have taken him over an hour at this time of day, and they'd surely be closed by then. It was time to call it a night, but Mark wasn't ready to quit for the day just yet. He needed another load, both to deliver and to execute the plan he had in mind for getting even with Thatch Waverly and the whole Sweet and Cherry setup. But first, he had to call Boris.
Sorry about the wires, Boris.
Didn't I tell you to look up for wires?
No, you told me to clean the box after every dump and not to waste time because stuff could freeze in the box.
And about wires?
Nothing.
Okay. Maybe a little my fault. Anyway, you'll finish with me now, no?
I wanted to talk to you about that. I was hoping you had another load for me.
You need the money, right?
That was sort of true. He would need cash to pay for the detailing job for his truck, but that was secondary to the other thing he had in mind.
Right.
You clean box?
After every dump.
Good.
Boris gave Mark another pickup and drop-off address.
Go this address for pickup, this one for delivery. Each one open 24 hours. Bring back truck in morning. I cash you out, okay?
Sure.
This time, the pickup wasn't at any gravel pit outside of town. Instead, it was a meatpacking plant in the St. Clair Avenue and Old Weston Road area. At one time, entire blocks were taken up by the Canada Packers plant and the stockyards holding their livestock. Now, even though the Canada Packers operation had been scaled down, there were still plenty of meat packaging plants in the area. Mark wasn't sure who would need a dump truck around here, but the night man assured him he was in the right place. When the night man came back dressed in a raincoat, Mark was even more confused.
What'll I be carrying?
Guts!
As if on cue, a specially designed forklift appeared at the loading dock, dumping the contents of large storage containers into the box of Mark's truck.
What is it?
Guts! Organs! Intros! Just about everything we don't end up using for hot dogs or pet food.
Mark was both amazed and ecstatic.
So, I'll be driving away with a whole dump truck full of animal guts?
They won't fill it all the way up, but yeah, basically.
Sweet.
When he first asked Boris for another load, he'd been expecting to get a box full of gravel or sand. The load of guts had been a more than welcome surprise. Mark had planned on dumping a load of dirt on each of the cars in the Sweet and Cherry lot as a way of teaching that asshole Thatch Waverly a lesson about giving a hardworking man a break. And while dirt would have been nice, guts were like the bomb. Just the thought of Thatch Waverly cleaning beef fat out of the nooks and crannies of a Ferrari brought a smile to Mark's face. When he reached the Sweet and Cherry lot, Mark was struck by how clean and shiny Motherlode was. Her body gleamed, and her chrome shone like the sun, even under the dim glow of the streetlights surrounding the lot. They'd done a good job, no doubt about it. Maybe even too good, since they'd even scrubbed all the grease off the fifth wheel and left the metal there clean enough to eat off. But did he need his truck to be that clean? No. And was the job worth a couple $1,000s? No. And did they have to charge him $150 just to let the truck sit overnight? No. And did Mark have to be made to feel like a second-class citizen just because he drove a truck and not a high-class sports import? Absolutely not. But did whoever owned the Ferraris and Porsches in the lot deserve to get their cars smeared with animal guts just because Thatch Waverly was an asshole? No. Dumping on the cars in the lot would be punishing their owners, not Sweet and Cherry. Mark needed to think of something else. A better plan that would put all of Mark's wrath squarely on Thatch Waverly's shoulders. As a gentle breeze wafted through the open window of the truck's cab, Mark suddenly came up with a better plan. There was a saying, less is more. And while hot cars buried underneath mounds of guts would be quite a sight, he'd need much less than a load of entrails to make his point. Mark parked the truck on the street in front of Sweet and Cherry, climbed up onto the side of the box, and used a shovel to scoop a bunch of guts and drop them onto the side of the road. Then, after climbing back down, he grabbed several handfuls of guts and carefully tucked them into inconspicuous places on the underside of each of the cars in the lot.
Ha
The next morning, Mark got his bill and paid it all in cash, using all of the money he'd earned driving the dump truck as well as a few dollars of his own.
So, what name do you want on the invoice?
Boris. Boris Bordensky.
Mark didn't have a problem giving the man a false name. After all, Bordensky was a shady character in his own right and deserved to catch a bit of heat of his own down the road. Later, as Mark turned to leave, Thatch sniffed at the air.
Yeah, man, do you smell that?
Smell what?
I don't know, man. Something rotten.
A grin creased Mark's face.
Nope. All I can smell is sweet and cherry.
Episode number 4, Two for the Road.
The call came out of the blue, and the voice was all but a distant memory.
Hi, Mark. It's Jenny.
Jenny?
Mark couldn't believe it was her. They hadn't spoken in years, but here she was calling him up as if they'd talked every week. Unbelievable. Mark pulled Mother Lode onto the shoulder of the highway and parked it, just to be safe.
Yeah, it's me, Jenny. How's it going?
Mark looked down at the asphalt strip in front of him.
South. It's going south. What's up with you?
Well, I was thinking...
Yeah?
I was thinking that maybe we could try and, you know, get back together again.
Mark felt as if the world had been pulled out from under him. Back together again. To be honest, it had to be one of the furthest things from his mind these past few years. He'd been working as a private investigator, making a good living videotaping men who spent three-hour lunches with their secretaries, and women who spent more time with their personal trainers than they did in the gym. The money had been good, but the work had taken up a lot of his time, especially nights and weekends. That became obvious to him when he set up his camera one night outside a motel room on the Scarborough Strip and discovered that the woman he was taping having sex just happened to be having sex with his wife. His wife, Jenny. And now, here she was wanting to get back together again.
Gee, I don't know, Jenny. I'm driving my own truck now, and to be honest, I'm kind of enjoying being out on my own.
Oh, come on, Mark. You're not even going to give me a chance.
A chance? How about $1 million also, you useless...
Well, what's that, darling?
Oh, nothing. Kind of late for a second chance, isn't it?
Yes, it is late. But there's something missing from my life, and I didn't know what it was for the longest time. And then it sort of hit me all at once.
What did?
You were the thing that was missing from my life.
She sounded convincing, but Mark still didn't believe it. She'd never even talked this way before, even when they'd been dating. The things she was saying now sounded, well, crazy coming from her.
You didn't seem to have any trouble finding other people to fill in for me whenever the mood struck you.
I was wrong to do what I did to you, and I'm sorry. You're a wonderful lover, the best I've ever had. And I didn't know what I had until it was gone.
That's nice to know.
If there's any way I could make it up to you, I'd be willing to do it.
Anything?
Anything.
Hey, it sounds really good, Jenny. And I'd really like to get back with you, but truth is, I don't want to give up what I'm doing right now.
Who says you have to give up driving?
What?
It didn't seem like her to say something like that. She was either a totally different person, or she was out to get something from him. He hoped it was the former.
I wouldn't ask you to give up driving for me, especially if it's something you enjoy.
I don't even want to settle down.
Well, of course not. If we got back together, I could even go out on the road with you.
You'd be willing to do that?
Of course, Mark. It would be a great way to spend some time with you, learn what you've been doing with your life. And our nights together would be pretty hot, don't you think?
You'd want to come on the road with me?
Yes. Couples do that all the time, don't they?
I don't know, Jenny. This is all so sudden. Maybe I should think about it.
Think about this. I'll make it worth your while.
Mark was reminded of a very different Jenny, lying next to him naked and damp with sweat and saying such sweet and sexy things in his ear. The decision was made. His head was telling him no, but his heart and his other head were saying, oh yeah.
Well, maybe we could give it a try.
Great. I could be packed and ready tomorrow if you like.
Packed?
Yeah. What time can you pick me up?
Afternoon, I guess.
Great. Just enough time for me to pick up something special just for you. Which do you prefer, white or black?
Black.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
Mark stared out at the highway in front of him, wondering what exactly had just happened. As best as he could figure, he'd either just started onto the road to greater happiness, or he just made one of the biggest mistakes in his life. Only time would tell. After delivering his load early in the morning, Mark called Bud around 10 a.m. and managed to get a truckload of bottled water headed for a grocery distributor in Winnipeg. Best of all, the delivery date was 3 days away, so he had enough breathing room to spend some time getting reacquainted with his ex-wife Jenny. He hadn't meant to mention it to Bud, but somehow he'd let it slip about Jenny during their conversation.
Are you crazy?
It could work. There are plenty of husband and wife driving teams out there.
And you're never gonna be part of one. Not with Jenny and not with any other woman either. You're a loner, Mark.
Oh, come on, Bud. The least you could do is give it a chance before you stomp all over it.
All right. Next time you call, you have to let me say I told you so as much as I want.
Okay, sure.
Best of luck, Mark. You're gonna need it.
Mark picked her up in front of her apartment building at Annette and Runningmede in the southwest end of Toronto. Not exactly the best place in the world to be driving an 18-wheeler. Mark hoped Jenny was out in front of her building waiting for him, since there was no way he'd be able to park his rig and knock on her door. Luckily, she was there waiting. He stopped out front and waved to her. She ran down to the curb, with a backpack bobbing rhythmically on her back.
Hi!
Hey, hop in.
Jenny tossed her backpack onto the seat.
Right after I get my suitcases.
Suitcases?
I've only got three of them. I wanted to be prepared.
For what, World War III?
Then she was gone, off to retrieve the rest of her baggage. When she came back out, she was struggling with three large pieces of luggage.
Oh, kill me.
Mark didn't want to help her, didn't want any of that stuff in his truck. But he'd agreed to take her along, so maybe it would be okay to indulge her this one time. He got out of the truck and carried her bags for her. 5 minutes later, Mark had her stuff packed away as best he could. There was still some room left, but the three pieces of luggage had definitely put a dent in their living space. Mark helped Jenny up into the cab.
There's not much room in here, is there?
Suits me just fine.
Jenny stared at him for a few seconds, then realization hit her like a brick.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is your home, isn't it?
She took a look around the cab as if she were being polite.
But it's fine. I guess it'll just take me a little getting used to.
Mark nodded, put the Peterbilt in gear, and let out the clutch.
So, where are we going?
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg? Why Winnipeg? Why not Florida or California? Couldn't we go there instead?
We could go to those places, but they want the stuff that's on my truck in Winnipeg.
All right, I guess.
Look at it this way. There's not a lot on the highway between here and there, so we'll have plenty of time to talk.
Jenny smiled but said nothing, probably doing her best to be a trooper. Mark headed south to the lake shore, then decided to head west for Highway 427. As he drove, Jenny dialed a few numbers on her cell phone, then listened as if she were picking up her messages. She finished picking up her messages but didn't say a word to him. Instead, she stared out the window as if something were on her mind.
You're looking good, Jenny.
You too, Mark.
How've you been?
Good. You?
I've been good. You seeing anybody?
No.
Then, after a moment's thought, Jenny shook her head slowly.
Not at the moment, anyway. But why would I be seeing anybody if I'm here with you?
Right. You been working much?
I've been doing a bunch of odd jobs. You know, whatever it takes to make ends meet. You've been doing well, haven't you?
Yeah, I do all right. But I don't have much living expenses since I basically live out of this truck.
How much do you make a year?
What?
I mean, this truck is so well maintained and seems to run great. You must be doing real well for yourself.
Well, I've saved some money, but I'll probably be needing a new truck in a little while, and that'll take care of most of it.
Mark was about to continue when she put up a hand and pulled out her cell phone.
Expecting an important call?
Yeah, you could say that.
Mark didn't understand it. For someone looking forward and trying to make a new life for herself, she sure seemed anchored to her old one.
Any new messages?
Yeah, plenty.
The silence between them was drawn out for miles. Mark was looking forward to getting out of the truck for a while.
You hungry?
Yes, very.
There's a greasy spoon a few kilometers up the road. The burgers are pretty good, and their chili, well, it's good too, but not as good as the burgers.
Burgers? Hamburgers?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what I had in mind for dinner.
Well, what did you have in mind?
I don't know, Swiss Chalet at the very least, something like that.
The burgers are really good.
I can't eat anything that's too fattening.
It's still early. Let's see what's up ahead.
Okay.
That made her happy.
Thank God for small miracles.
Mark had seen husband and wife teams work really well together, seeming to know exactly what the other wanted even before they did. Or else they would compromise, knowing that if one gave in this time, it would be the other's turn the next time around. Obviously, this wasn't the way it was working with Jenny. As he guided his rig past dozens of greasy spoons and mom-and-pop joints, Mark gained a newfound respect for husband and wife teams. There had to be a trust and understanding between two equals for them to work, and it clearly wasn't working here. Mark wasn't sure if he could ever find a woman he could team up with. One thing was for certain, she'd have to be something pretty special even before he agreed to give it another try. It was almost dark by the time they reached Sudbury.
Well?
Maybe there's a Swiss Chalet in Sudbury?
I'm driving a tractor trailer. It's not exactly the best sort of vehicle to be cruising around the city in.
Please.
All right.
They ended up eating at a fancy steak restaurant in Sudbury, the bill coming in at just under $80. Jenny sipped a cup of after-dinner tea.
Which hotel do you usually stay at?
Hotel?
Where else would we be sleeping?
Back of my truck's usually good for me.
But I need a shower, and I need room to try on my nighties, or else I won't know which one I'm in the mood for. Some of my outfits are really hot.
Sure, a hotel room sounds great.
Mark smiled at the irony. He'd hoped it would be like this on the road with Jenny every night, but if this carried on, he'd have a smile on his face and not a penny to his name. The sex had been great. Jenny had been a disappointment in most aspects of their marriage, but he really had to hand it to her in the bedroom. She was everything a man could want and more. Then again, she had had a lot of practice. A lot of practice. Mark was feeling satisfied on this morning, and a little bit tired out too, but pleasantly so. The night had been great, but the trouble was he couldn't lounge around in bed all day reflecting on it. He had to get back onto the road to earn his living. Then night would come, and after 8 hours or so of driving, he'd be dead tired while she'd be all ready to go again. Another night like the last would be nice, but any more than that would probably kill him, or at least send him to an early grave. Sure, it was a great way to go, but it was already 9 o'clock.
Jenny, wake up!
Huh? What?
It's after 9.
Yeah, so?
We've got to get going.
No, but it's only 9.
Mark jumped out of bed and got changed. Jenny lingered in the bed, trying to sleep, and then grudgingly sliding out of the bed and heading to the bathroom without any clothes on.
What are you doing?
I'm going to take a shower.
But you had a shower last night.
I start every day with a shower.
Jenny closed the bathroom door behind her. Mark thought about taking off his clothes and joining her, but he'd already made a big deal about hitting the road. It would be hypocritical of him to suddenly want to take his time. Half an hour later, she was packed. They left the room.
What are we having for breakfast?
Just a coffee and donuts for me.
But the hotel has a really nice restaurant.
Mark decided it would take less time just to agree with her and get breakfast over with.
On the other hand, Bacon and eggs is good, too.
Jenny's slow start irritated Mark to the point where everything the woman did grated on Mark's nerves. The way she breathed, in and out. The way she sat there with 2 feet on the floorboard and an arm on the armrest, like she owns the place. And the way she looked out the window with her head turning left to right on her neck, as if there were all sorts of interesting things to look at outside. For crying out loud, it was all so annoying. Why are we doing this?
Doing what?
This. After all these years, we don't talk to each other, and one day you decide that you want to get back with me. Why?
Because I missed you, and I realized what I had lost, and because, well, I wanted to.
You know, it would be great if you could get your AZ license and we could share the driving duties. You could drive twice as far in half the time and make a lot more money.
The money part sounds good, but I really can't see myself driving a truck.
Then why did you agree to ride with me? I'm not on vacation, you know. I'm working. And if you're with me, you might as well be driving and making yourself useful.
Jenny cast him an innocent smile.
I guess I'm just having trouble making the adjustment to life on a truck. I did drop everything just so I could join you on this ride, so excuse me if I'm not exactly ready to give up all the usual creature comforts for the privilege of living out of a truck for the rest of my life. Last night was great.
Yes, it was.
I want to do it again.
Tough to make money at this job when you spend every night in a hotel.
Without saying a word, Jenny unbuttoned her blouse, ran a finger inside one of her bra cups, and flashed one of her breasts at Mark.
Are you sure I'm not worth it?
Mark was only human.
I think there's a hotel up the highway a bit with pretty reasonable rates.
Mark dropped Jenny off in front of the motel and then headed over to the nearby rest station to refuel his truck. After topping off his tanks, Mark realized that he'd given Jenny his credit card to rent the room. But instead of going back to the motel to chase down Jenny for his card, Mark went through Jenny's purse in search of one of her cards. The purse was on the passenger seat and her credit cards, several of them, were just inside. On the one hand, he didn't feel right using her card for his fuel. But on the other hand, why not? If they were together again, then they were also sharing expenses. If she wanted to sleep in a motel room each night, then the least she could do was spring for fuel every once in a while. Mark stepped up to the clerk and handed over Jenny's card. The clerk seemed to have trouble getting the card to work. Then he made a phone call and spent a couple of minutes listening very carefully to someone on the other end. The clerk finally returned to the counter.
Is there a problem? Do I have another card?
Why?
Without another word, the clerk presented Jenny's card to Mark, then cut it in two with a huge pair of heavy-duty scissors.
What the hell did you do that for?
Do you have another card, sir? Or shall I call the police?
Mark picked up the pieces of Jenny's card and stacked them one on top of the other.
Do you have another card?
No. But I have some cash in my truck.
Mark slipped the pieces of credit card into his pocket and headed back to Motherlode. He kept a few $100 in cash on hand for just such emergencies. As he sat in the truck, counting out bills, Mark noticed Jenny's cell phone sticking out of her open purse. After putting away the cash he didn't need, Mark picked up her phone and dialed her number. When the answering machine kicked in, he punched in the code that accessed her messages.
You have 10 new messages.
You sleep with my husband again! Hell, if you even so much as talk to him again, I'll make you wish you'd never met the son of a bitch!
I found this phone number in my husband's pants. He says it's the number for his accountant. Is that true?
This is CFR Collections. Our records show you're 3 months overdue on your last payment. If you want your card activated, you must make a payment within 3 days or...
This is TD Visa calling. I'm looking for Jenny Dalton. Your account has been suspended with us.
Hello, Jenny McDonald. This is Bud McFallon calling from Suncrest Bank.
And on it went. Message after message of credit companies and disgruntled women wanting either money or their husbands. Mark exited the truck and paid for the fuel, the seed of a plan already germinating in the back of his mind.
Mark knocked on the door of the motel room about a half hour later. Jenny opened the door, dressed in a barely there nightgown that did little to cover up her admittedly gorgeous body.
What took you so long?
I needed a lot of gas.
You got a full tank, huh?
Yeah.
And then you can go all night.
Mark slept like a baby until 6. Then he rolled out of bed, quietly packed up his things, and left the room. Mark considered leaving her there, outside of Winnipeg, with nothing more than her credit cards and her luggage, and letting her find her own way home. He also thought about leaving her there stranded, and contacting the woman on the answering machine, the one that wanted Jenny dead, and letting the woman know where to find her. In the end, however, he didn't have the heart to do any of those things to her. He had something better in mind. So he paid for the hotel room, which was the least he could do, and brought all of her luggage in from the truck and left it with the clerk at the front desk. When he was sure Jenny and her belongings were safe, he hopped into Mother Lode and headed west toward Winnipeg. The load didn't have to be at the warehouse until late in the afternoon, so Mark had all the time he needed to find just what he was looking for. Just outside Winnipeg, Mark found a greasy spoon that suited his purposes. It was the kind of place truckers loved, with good food, smiling waitresses, and an informality that suited people who had been on the road for days. It was also full of people having breakfasts that suggested news about the dangers of cholesterol hadn't made it this far up the nation's highways. Plates were brimming with bacon, sausages, eggs, and even more bacon and sausages. This was exactly the sort of place Mark would find the driver he needed to carry out his plan.
Excellent.
And there he was, sitting at a table in the corner, alone, a morning paper in his left hand and a fork full of sausage in his right. Mark made his way over to the man and saw he was wearing a pair of tar-stained jeans. Perfect. His red t-shirt was stretched out across his gut, unable to cover the distance to the top of his pants, and leaving his big fleshy grin between two pieces of clothing. The button on the jeans seemed at a bursting point, and the pants themselves were held in place by a pair of baby blue suspenders. The front of the t-shirt was spotted with fresh grease stains and a couple of splotches of something that might have been last night's pizza.
Mind if I sit down?
The man looked around, obviously wondering why Mark had chosen to sit at his table when there were still plenty of others that were empty.
If you won't.
Now sitting across from the man, Mark realized he'd also had a bowl of chili waiting its turn to be eaten. Mark had learned years ago that chili was a food that was best avoided when on the road in the confines of a truck cab, especially if you were riding with someone else. Mark just looked at the steaming bowl of chili and smiled.
I'm Mark Dalton.
Name's Mick. Like the truck, but with an I.
Well, Mick, I've got a little proposition for you.
Hey, I'm not that kind of guy.
Oh, no, nothing like that, Mick. In fact, it's a money deal. Just about opposite to what you're thinking.
Oh, yeah? How much is in it for me?
100?
200.
It was more than he wanted to pay, but it would probably be worth every penny. Maybe even a bargain by the time all was said and done.
Deal.
Jenny stood at the front desk, her head swiveling around on her neck in search of Mark.
The room is already paid for, ma'am.
Great.
But there is a room service charge and a charge for 4 phone calls this morning, totaling $57.33.
You said the room is paid.
Well, the room is, yes.
Where's my husband?
The clerk's face was a mask of confusion, and then it suddenly brightened with realization.
Ah, he left you this.
The clerk handed Jenny a letter.
Dear Jenny, learned a bit more about you than you wanted last night. Bad credit and some crazy lady wants to kill you. That sounds like something that might happen to me. Anyway, look to your right. See the big man there standing like a fish out of water? He has money to pay for the rest of your bill, and I've paid him to give you a ride back to Toronto.
Jenny looked around and spotted the big dirty man standing by the front door. He waved back at her.
If you refuse to ride with him, he'll gladly take my money and drive to Toronto without you. I suggest you ride with him.
He could use the company, and the road he'll be taking back to the city is straight and narrow. And that's the kind of road I think you really need to be on, before we ever think about getting back together again. All the best, Mark.
Oh, no!
Hey, baby. You ready to go?